This is the Tom Likas Show.
Women love to say they're independent and fantastic.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Dump that bitch.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are, together again. It's you. It's me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are joined in this bonus hour by our friend, criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs. Adam?
Great to be here, Tom.
What's going on in the world of crime?
Well, today we had Jeff Sessions, who's going to be the new attorney general, in his confirmation hearings. I don't know if you saw that. That was the big news story today. And he is the first person in the new Trump administration to be going through this. And they actually arranged some very big protests outside, which is pretty unusual. And then they even started protesting inside. Did you see that, Tom? A couple of people, they stood up wearing the Ku Klux Klan white sheet type thing going on. And as the security of the Capitol Police started pulling them out, they said, you can't arrest me, I'm white. So I think that's the new line now, apparently. So this is significant because Sessions, as the Attorney General, sort of sets the tone of a lot of what's going to be going on in the United States in general. And he obviously represents the federal government. He's like the main attorney. For example, you know that we have marijuana more or less legal in California with a prescription. We have a number of states that have made it just legal, period, Colorado and so forth, Washington State. But Sessions is against all that. And, you know, the federal law is superior to the state law. So you have this thing where the state has made marijuana legal. But, for example, the federal government still considers it a Class 1 drug. So that is something that may end up being reinforced again, more so by the federal government. And this also shows, you know, a lot of these things that have been happening with the police, or people have been getting into conflict with the police. And we have a lot of claims that the police are overreacting, or the police are hunting for minorities or whatever. We're going to now have the Trump administration again, which is supposed to be much more pro-law enforcement. And sometimes the pendulum won't just swing a little the other way, but it'll swing very far the other way, which means that we may see the police actually getting much more rough and aggressive. You know, there's a very interesting thing that's happening, tragically, in, for example, Chicago and in Baltimore and some other cities, where allegedly, because of some of the anti-police things that have happened, or the police have been accused of going too far or whatever, that the police are supposedly backing off. And so, you know, the murder rate, for example, in Chicago has just skyrocketed, allegedly because of the police not getting as involved. In New York, there was a thing where the police were doing what they called stop and frisk, which was supposedly cutting down on crime, that if people were acting suspiciously or they were doing strange things, the cops would stop and frisk people, and this supposedly deterred crime. But then there was some question about whether the cops were doing it especially too much to minorities, or was discriminatory. And so this pretty left-wing communist-type mayor of New York, de Blasio, put an end to it. It was something that had come from Giuliani originally, who had been the mayor before him. And so that was killed off, that policy, and that was apparently helping lower crime, and now there's like a whole kind of counter-turn. And so, you know, some of the things that you were talking about, Tom, are absolutely correct. I couldn't agree with you more about sort of honing the way that you look at society based on the era that you're in. For example, as you said, with respect to your investments, and, you know, they're as bad as things were, and I do remember the Carter years and, you know, America being humiliated by the Iranian hostage situation and so forth. But there are people, certainly, that made a lot of money during those years. And one of the great things that we have this great advertiser here on our radio channel here talking about enjoy the decline. And that is actually something that is true. You know, there are issues that obviously match each era. And as you said, you purchased a mutual fund that was geared towards health insurance at a time when the President Obama was making national health insurance. And so the insurance companies that provided health insurance ended up booming. And so your mutual fund boomed. So that was a very shrewd investment at that time. And if you look at the things that are going to happen now, some of the societal changes, we are certainly entering a new era. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but Trump is quite different than Obama. And in fact, Obama, a lot of his legislative and plans and things that he did were not legislation at all, but were actually done by executive order, which probably actually was unconstitutional, and he should have known better because he was a constitutional law professor. But the thing is that Trump has promised to undo a lot of those things. And if he takes the country in another direction as far as it goes, and the reason I talk about it tonight in terms of criminal law, and this is certainly going to be something that's going to be on a national level, it's going to be a national trend, we may see the police getting a lot stricter and cracking down, particularly on things that they consider to be, you know, sort of mandated or important, which is set in the tone from the federal government. So, you know, Trump obviously has no great love for illegal immigrants, for example. And so apparently we may see a lot of them found or captured in different ways through their jobs or whatever and deported. I think I'm going to start putting an emphasis on maybe on immigration law because that's going to be a booming area. And if you also look, for example, on emphasis, I mean, we have, in fact, in California started now that it's the new year, we have a whole new emphasis on the issue of your phone. Not only is it not appropriate to talk on your phone when you're driving, but they made some new kind of sub things to that. That you can get fined for, you know, playing with the phone, looking at the phone. Texting was already illegal, but you used to be able to kind of bullshit the cop and say, "Look, I was looking at a map," you know, because you know the phones obviously make these, you know, maps and directions and you know where to get on and get off and all that. And that was something that was sort of on the side; it wasn't exactly addressed in the law, but now it is. But I have to tell you, in my experience, especially in the past year or two. I have talked on the phone when I was driving, and I have had cops, you know, literally drive right past me on a motorcycle and look right at me. And I know they saw that I was on the phone, but I think that they had been told or they believed that that was something that wasn't going to be, you know, emphasized. I had some people that get tickets for that, but it seems that it's something that they were doing a lot less. And obviously, a lot of police work is discretionary, and so... If you have kind of the understanding among police, for example, not to really push the marijuana laws, then they won't. But this is something that has to be recognized now that we have, like I said, this new administration. It is going to have its own emphasis. And I think that it is going to be more of a Republican law and order, no more bullshit type of administration. And so people have got to remember to think about this, especially in the context of police interactions, that police may start being more aggressive in general. They may also start having more of an emphasis on certain things. Sessions was talking about some of, you know, some of his beliefs and so forth, and they're trying to say that he's some kind of a racist or whatever, which I don't think is true. But he certainly is a more conservative-thinking lawman, as I mentioned, with respect to marijuana, and that's probably going to be with respect to drugs in general, certainly with respect to immigration, and it's going to be something that is going to be felt probably in a lot of different ways. Society itself, I think, in the past few years, the relationship between the public and law enforcement has gotten more and more strained. And that is something that is, you know, very concerning. And I remember quite a few times when I lived in New York years ago that when there were some incidents that got headlines, Trump, it's the same Trump, he used to take out ads in the newspaper. And he would take out a full-page ad and say, we got to support the police and no more of this nonsense. And this was something that was obviously, you know, even when he was a private citizen just doing whatever real estate development, this was his opinion. And this is something that we're probably going to see a lot more of now, regardless of his affiliation. I think that at one time, if anything, he was a Democrat. I don't think he was a Republican. I don't know what he was. He was just sort of nowhere politically. The history shows that he gave a lot of money to both sides, but in particular the Democratic Party, including people like Hillary Clinton that eventually became his opponents and so forth. But the underlying theme certainly is one of, you know, law enforcement, and that is something that affects all of us because you can see how at one time during, like, I don't know, the hippie generation, a lot of people went to jail for marijuana or LSD or whatever, and they got, you know, very long sentences. There was the original laws in New York under Governor Rockefeller around that time, in particular with respect to cocaine and narcotic drugs that were just outstandingly unbelievable. I mean, literally for a relatively small amount of cocaine, you could, you know, get 30 years in jail. And what's really fascinating, even since then, is how the use of drugs has changed. I mean, I've done a lot of drug cases, and, you know, you kind of think of someone who's just, you know, fooling around with drugs or whatever. And, you know, obviously this is something that's existed throughout human history, and even alcohol, you know, was illegal at one time in the United States. But what's really interesting is nowadays there are a lot of pretty average middle-aged people from small towns, regular kinds of places. We're talking housewife types who get back surgery, get neck surgery. They're in a lot of pain. And as part of their surgery and their recovery, they're given narcotic drugs, pills, you know, OxyContin and that sort of thing. They take those drugs and they get, you know, a bottle of, you know, a couple of weeks worth, and they finish the bottle. And they maybe get a refill, and then that's about it. The doctors are under a lot of pressure from the DEA, the doctors themselves, not to overprescribe, not to give too many of these pills. We have a country that's so crazy that even when people are dying and they're in a lot of pain at the end of their life, the doctors are afraid to give them painkillers because they don't want them to get addicted. Like that makes a difference when your life is almost over, if you would be addicted. I mean, in Europe, you know, they'll give you morphine. They have different kinds of versions of that, which is a powerful painkiller. And, you know, you can just sort of, you know, fade away in a very peaceful kind of, you know, way. And here in America, they wouldn't think of doing that. And so they're you know, very tight-fisted when it comes to giving you these painkillers. They're obviously probably available on the black market, which is, you know, probably more expensive and difficult to do. So what ends up happening, which is just unbelievable, is Miss Average Housewife, after her back surgery and after her pain pills run out, ends up, you know, not able to get any more from the doctor, can't get them on the black market, and turns to really hard drugs like heroin. The great growth in the use of heroin is among these pretty average middle class, you know, bake a cake kind of women in suburbia. And you know, you don't expect her to be a heroin addict, but she is out of, you know, sort of necessity, if that's the right word, because she got addicted and needs them to kill the pain from this unbelievable surgery that she had, which should have been really dealt with by her doctor, but in fact was, you know, the narcotics were underprescribed. And I had been happy, at least on some level, that this was calming down in a lot of ways and it wasn't crazy like it had been. But I think now one of the downsides when you get a Republican in office, whoever it is this. You know, on the one hand, a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with me in this respect, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever, you certainly want a Republican, let's say, to manage the country's money, because he's going to be conservative with it and, you know, not to go crazy with the tax dollars. You know, Obama ran up a deficit of, he added something like $10 trillion to the U.S. debt, which is just crushing and a terrible thing to happen to the country. And it's going to be paid off for generations. And I think that that's a terrible, terrible thing for him to do. So you kind of want a Republican to be careful with the government's money. But on the other hand, you want a Democrat, you want someone who's more liberal when it comes to the laws of, I think, drugs and sex and prostitution and, you know, strippers and all this. You know, you don't want, I really don't think you want the government going to the strip club and trying to see if the pasty is, you know, big enough or it's covering enough, or if, you know, what kind of porn is okay and what kind of porn isn't okay and what should be in video games and all that kind of crazy censorship stuff. You know, Tom, this is an interesting thing. You know, there's this thing on the internet, very famous, called Craigslist. And Craigslist has been there for years, where people kind of have this big swap meet where they advertise. And one of the things that Craigslist had been advertising for years was pretty clear. It was escorts, prostitutes, and like massage places, which is sort of the same, you know, thing. And a few years ago, under pressure, Craigslist stopped taking that advertising because supposedly that was, you know, demeaning to women, and it was inviting child prostitution and so forth, and trafficking and all this kind of stuff. So Craigslist stopped doing that nationwide, and there's another company called Backpage that started kind of picking up the slack, and they were advertising, you know, taking advertising there nationwide and worldwide. Well, apparently now they also are going to stop doing that, have already stopped. And this is because of legislation from the federal government that put pressure on that. It could have held them liable and so forth if things happened, because there's always these stories you hear of the guy that gets a massage parlor or whatever and gets arrested or kills the woman or she kills him or whatever. And so, you know, this is the kind of thing that the feds, you know, in a conservative government, are trying to kind of save us from ourselves, where they're going to, you know, crack down on morality and so forth. And that is something that has always been done by conservative administrations. And with Trump coming in, aside from just him, the ideology tends to lean more that way. Now, we saw that with some of the more conservative candidates, like, for example, Ted Cruz, which are, you know, connected to religion and so forth. And a lot of that is, again, this morality play, which, you know, they think they're going to somehow make people stay in bad marriages, or people not to use drugs, or people not to have, you know, promiscuous sex or whatever. You know, their big emphasis is that week. When I was a teenager, you had Nancy Reagan, who pushed this thing which was against drugs, which was called the Just Say No Foundation, which it's, when you look at it, and there's been studies done about this, it's completely ineffective. It's actually a joke. And it actually, in a lot of ways, can cause even more harm than good. We had a lot of, like, celebrities make public service announcements. And this is funny, Tom, because you were also talking about the actual lack of influence, in spite of claims to the contrary, of Rush Limbaugh and supposedly, you know, Meryl Streep now telling us how bad Trump is and so forth. I mean, I really think these people probably should, you know, especially the actors, should stick to acting. Because I was in our party, the Christmas party on the Sunset Strip, which was at this bar, but it was right across from the Viper Room. And I remember, you know, it's kind of ridiculous little bit of L.A. lore that River Phoenix literally seized and died of a heroin cocaine overdose, literally on the sidewalk right in front of the Viper Room. I think he had just come out of the Viper Room or something of the sort. And, you know, he was actually in one of those public service announcements. I remember it very, very well. Where he was saying, you know, if you're taking drugs and you're a loser and you shouldn't do it or whatever, and, you know, he's supposed to be this big celebrity role model, and we're all supposed to go, oh, I want to be like River Phoenix, and River Phoenix says that drugs are bad, and so I'm not going to take them. And then within a few months after he did that, he was dead as a doornail of doing the exact thing that he was talking about, which is just doesn't even pass the bullshit test, obviously, being a hypocrite and so forth. And let's remember that Meryl Streep has a rather majestic home in Beverly Hills, and I've just been looking at it on online here. There's a photo of it. It's pretty impressive. Looks to be in the $15 to $20 million range, and so I mean she's not exactly Miss Liberal. I love everybody here. Let me give away all my money to the soup kitchens and so forth, as she shows her unbelievable concern for the handicapped. And the people that make fun of the handicapped, which apparently she says Trump did, which I actually saw some videos that said that he didn't. But be that as it may, it seems like her contribution to the handicapped and services for the handicapped, her charitable donating to them is approximately zero. So I don't know what that really means. But we have to definitely think when we talk about criminal law, there is definitely a lot of discretion. I've talked about this before. And I've talked to a lot of prosecutors about my cases and people that are my clients, and I've talked them out of prosecuting things, and I've gotten cases dropped. I've gotten things withdrawn or reduced, at least, based on philosophy. But they also say the opposite to me, where particularly in, let's say, Ventura County, which is a little more conservative, or Orange County, which is very conservative in California compared to Los Angeles, I will talk to a prosecutor in Orange County, and they will say, I'm sorry, we're not going to compromise on a case so-and-so because, you know, the words coming from upstairs, that would be from, like, you know, managers there, that we're going to, you know, go bananas on these cases when it comes to whatever the new emphasis is, which will be marijuana, or it will be child abuse, or, you know, domestic violence, for example, is a good one. Domestic violence in Orange County, they, you know, they give you the chair, basically. So when you talk about the emphasis in this country now, in the coming years, it is definitely going to be very much shaped by having a conservative Republican president and his, you know, administration. For example, someone like Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General and so forth, that people are going to have to be much more aware of this. And I have to be, you know, a bit sorry to tell the audience, but I mean, if you are a member of a minority group, a visible minority, like being African American or Hispanic and whatever, you definitely may be treated in a more difficult way. And that's not a joke. And this is something
that
is going
to happen. What if your name is on the list of people who goes to the pot dispensary, as I told you years ago?
You always have this sort of concerned, paranoid slash whatever attitude, like you say, Tom, that your name's on the list, right? So that the state got you, the feds are going to get you, or whatever. I have to say that, you know, my name's on that list too. And in terms of my interaction with police personally, when you show them your marijuana license, that's pretty much the end of it for them.
Until Jeff Sessions is the U.S. Attorney General,
that's right.
What happens?
That's kind of what I'm talking about today. I'd say what happens is a little bit of a question mark, and you're still going to be dealing most likely with your local police, but like you say, they have a lot of power. I'll give you a small example. You know, San Francisco, for example, is a sanctuary city, which means that the police are not supposed to check whether your status is legal or illegal. So that's the sanctuary for foreign people or something. But then there's been several high-profile incidents of foreign people and undocumented people killing Americans or, you know, raping or whatever. And so Trump said if this, the sanctuary cities have got to stop that policy. And for example, the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is saying that he's not going to obey that. He's literally going to defy the federal law. And so Trump has said, and maybe he will do this, that he's going to cut off some kind of federal funding to put pressure on the city. So like you say, it is possible that someone like Sessions, with the president supporting him, could say, look, California, look, Los Angeles County, you better start cracking down on marijuana, and you've got a list, and Tom and Adam are on that list, and so you better pay them a visit at their house or something like that. And if Los Angeles County's mayor and government says, look, we're not going to do that, that's a waste of time, they've got marijuana licenses, the federal government could say, we are going to take away some of your federal funding, which gets results, let me tell you. Just the threat of that in terms of the states and the counties, they need federal dollars. And if they are threatened in some way that that's going to be withdrawn or cut back or whatever, they will take notice. So I would say, Tom, that I wouldn't lose any sleep over it if I were you, but it's not great. It's definitely something of concern. And there has been a precedent in California, for example, where marijuana has been in this kind of semi-legal status for many years. I don't think that's going to be reversed, but these are going to be tougher times. And what remains to be seen is, how they approach this. I don't really know. I have the feeling that in a lot of ways, I know this is going to sound crazy to you, Tom. I know you don't like the guy very much, but I think in a lot of ways, Trump is actually not very much of a Republican. I think he's a liberal in a lot of ways. If you look at his life, if you look at this thing about, grab her by the pussy and all these different women he's dated and famous women and gotten his divorces and all this other stuff. I mean, he is not someone who, gets high every day. He's talked very dramatically about the loss of his brother who was an alcoholic or whatever. So I think he in his personal life, may not be in that way. But he is not stupid. He's been around. He's had a lot of high-flying celebrity friends and so forth. And I think he's been through a life of, excitement and adventure. It would be surprising to me if he's this
certainly
kind of...
true. I just read BuzzFeed.
There you go. What did BuzzFeed tell us? I mean, he golden showers or whatever? I mean, Is he going to really be this old fuddy-duddy who comes in and goes, oh, no, marijuana's evil and it's the devil's plaything and we can't have it in America or whatever?
I don't know. In my experience, and I don't want to make this a political show. I'm going to make this.
I'm talking about criminal law, Tom.
Yeah, but the bottom line here is my experience is that your man will say whatever it takes to get whatever he wants, including getting elected. And so, if it helps to go chasing pot smokers, I think he'll do that. And why does he want to make abortion illegal again?
Well, that's a good example.
Does anyone believe?
No, I'm with you.
Does anyone believe that Donald Trump hasn't paid for an abortion? Anybody?
By the way, I would be really surprised, but I have to tell you, when you talk about abortion, a lot of the people that are the most crazy, let's say the religious types against abortion, when their daughter gets pregnant, they take her and get her an abortion. So that's a big bullshit story anyway. I think the thing about, the administration, again, this is not a political show. I'm talking criminal law. When you look at the rights of people, as you're saying, and the way that it evolves, it does have a lot to do with the administration and how it thinks. And, Reagan, it's amazing how revered he is today. But I remember when he was president and he had his attorney general, whose name was Meese. Cracking down on pornography and cracking down on drugs. And I think Reagan was a true believer. I think that he literally, this thing, like I said about Nancy Reagan, the first lady with the Just Say No Foundation, I think that they really believed, they actually published papers saying that we would have a drug-free America within the next 10 years. So the idea was literally that there would be no drugs, that people would, literally the whole society would halt using any kind of drug, and that was their goal. And I think when they wrote that, they really believed it. Now, that's the crazy part of it. So when you look at Trump, what I'm trying to say is I think that he is sophisticated enough and he is crooked in his own way, in his own life. And I don't mean crooked, dishonest. I think he's lived life is what I'm trying to say. And like you say, he may have paid for an abortion or two over the years, as a lot of guys have. And so that would very much surprise me. Now, he talks about, you know, defunding, you know, Planned Parenthood. We can talk about Planned Parenthood, you know, the pros and cons. But what I generally think is that the country is headed in a new direction, which is going to be more conservative. And people are going to have to adjust themselves. And a lot of stuff that would have, you know, maybe slid at one time is not going to. And people are going to have to be more aware of it. I'm going to get people calling me and saying, hey, I got a misdemeanor charge. I'm getting charged with marijuana possession. What the hell is that? I didn't think the government did that anymore. And the answer is, yeah, they still do. And it's just this emphasis on whether to push that or whether other things are considered more important or less important. Like driving using your cell phone, the cop sees me and doesn't pull me over because his sergeant told him at the last meeting, we don't give a shit about that anymore. That's small potatoes, you know? And when you think about abortion as an example, and people are very threatened by this, but, you know, abortion is legal in the United States because of a Supreme Court decision, which dates back to 1973. And it's been challenged so many times. It's gone through the courts so many times. And every time it gets held up again and you know, resupported again, it just gets more and more entrenched in the law. And so the idea that it's going to be overturned and abortion is going to be illegal in the land is extremely unlikely. But on the other hand, you see how there are ways of playing around with it where they, you know, want to have parental notification or they don't want to let you have an abortion late term, like in the towards the end of the pregnancy, or they want children and teenagers to have to get their parents' approval. I mean, you know, these are the kinds of things that go on when there's a more conservative administration. And so I think that the country is definitely headed in a more conservative way. And if you get into one of these tangles, you better get yourself a lawyer, because I think that you're not going to get this squeaky deal that you used to get. I mean, if anything, things are going to get worse. There are a lot of people in California that got arrested for drug-related offenses that were able to get what's called diversion, which meant that they, you know, took a class and they didn't do anything bad for a year and the case got dismissed. You may find the prosecutors and the judges less willing to offer that. And when you talk about domestic violence, maybe that's an emphasis. That's a conservative type of thing, too, where they push these, you know, protecting women and protecting children and all this kind of stuff. That may also prove more difficult to get. And that is going to be our new emphasis. And I think that people know that. And if you look at the choice, like I said, of Jeff Sessions, that is definitely his mentality. And that is definitely where he sees things. And so that is something to be aware of, because this is, you know, the way America is sailing. This is the direction that we're sailing in. And people have to be aware of it, because that is going to be where the rubber meets the road in your life, which means, like I said, that you're going to be driving and looking at Google Maps and the cops are going to pull you over and write you a ticket because, you know, and this is a $200, $300 ticket because their sergeant said, no more bullshit from these motorists. We got to start enforcing everything. And this is sort of a general mental thing, very much like Giuliani's stop and frisk, where they were, you know, just grabbing people on the side of the road and frisking them all of a sudden. And there is definitely going to be something, because it's been on the news so many times lately. For example, with Chicago having this unbelievably high murder rate, when they start saying we need more cops, we need more police, that's more police out there arresting more people. And there definitely is this thing. You've seen this with these some of these protests and so forth, these shootings. You know, every time there's a shooting, and there are a lot of them, but when a policeman shoots, particularly an African-American person gets shot by the police, even if the cop, by the way, is black himself, there's always this, you know, well, was it racism? Was it justified? What happened? And then we have this big drama with the attorney general doing a separate investigation, except it's going to be Jeff Sessions. So it's going to be a different way of thinking of things. And I think that when you talk about the future and people are interacting in their lives, I think people should be aware of this. One of the things Trump had made a big deal about was a lot of these companies that were putting money like abroad, or they were doing different kinds of financial things to screw around. So maybe people now that are doing things to avoid taxes, or people are doing financial crimes, maybe that's going to be a new emphasis of the new administration. particularly because I guess Trump has all these friends that were very, you know, big billionaires or whatever. And as you said, Tom, he's appointing people from Goldman Sachs. Maybe they are going to either be much stricter on financial crimes, or maybe because they're in the financial industry, they're going to go the opposite way and say,
judging,
you know,
on what happened with Goldman
deal.
Sachs in 2008,
there you
what
go.
Do you think is going to happen?
Well, after the financial debacle in 2008, no one got punished, right? That was the
correct.
I mean, literally.
So trust me when I tell you, that's where this is going.
So we're going to have the Goldman people up at the top. They're going to say, oh, don't worry about it. Maybe he screwed around a little bit, but he didn't mean anything by it, so it's okay.
It's not an accident that Goldman Sachs stock is up 33% since November 8th.
You know, listen, Goldman Sachs does a lot of positive things, too. You know, they provide financing, which is a very important function in society. But obviously, 2008 showed us that there were a lot of excesses in the financial industry. And, you know, some of the really big banks that actually competed, you know, investment houses and so forth that competed with Goldman went out of business. I mean, that's not a joke. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, what's that movie about that? The
Big Short.
Thank you, Tom. The Big Short. I mean, I thought that was fantastic. And, you know, here were investment banks that had been in business for 100 years that had gone, that literally had survived the Great Depression. And closed, went bankrupt and so forth. And we felt that in California, one of the big companies that was based actually in my hometown, Calabasas, Countrywide Mortgages, literally went bankrupt. Literally was taken over its assets by Bank of America or whatever. And you saw that Lehman Brothers and so forth closed. I mean, this was unbelievable. And considering the losses to the U.S. taxpayer and to regular investors and everything else, literally the executives took all the money they could, retired to Florida, and no one was prosecuted. Literally no one was prosecuted. So, yeah, that is definitely something. If someone comes from the business world, like Donald Trump, and then his friends, as you can see from the administration he's put together, the people that he trusts are also, you know, very powerful business people. For example, the Secretary of State, rather than being a former senator like John Kerry or some kind of a political person like Hillary Clinton, a former first lady, also senator, he's putting a very famous oil executive to be the Secretary of State. And that's someone who has worldwide contacts, which might be a good thing, but his connection to other countries is primarily in the business world. So that's very, very significant. And as you're saying, Tom, which is true, when these people do crazy things or get into, you know, all kinds of illegal transactions or whatever, they're very, very rarely held to account. If you think about it, it's incredible that someone that, you know, commits an assault or an attempted murder can get 10 years or 20 years in jail. We've seen these domestic cases that I do where a guy, you know, gets in a fight with his wife and gets, you know, 5 years in jail or loses his children. But someone can cheat and rip the government off or rip the taxpayers off, insurance fraud or whatever, for hundreds of millions of dollars, which actually technically kills a lot more people and harms a lot more people. And, you know, they get, you know, very, very, very lightly punished as a white-collar criminal. And you're right. Maybe this administration, because it's, you know, sort of born in the business world, will be less likely to prosecute that kind of crime. That's certainly a strong possibility.
Let's take a break here. We've got calls coming up. Adam Sachs is here. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs here to answer your legal questions for free. All you need to do, if you need some legal advice on a DUI, a drug bust, who knows, maybe you're accused of doing something worse, you can ask Adam. Get the answers right now, and all you have to do is call us right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number. Call us now at 901-3000-8. Six, six.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. in studio at 901-3000 Tom, this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-866. Here's Mark in Irvine on the Tom Likas Show for Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Adam, it's Tom.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Going great.
Not so good, man. Not so good. You guys are probably doing better than me. Check it out. You guys are talking about these BS tickets and all that starting this year.
Yep.
Check this out. I got a stupid... I live in Orange County. Here, they made it illegal to have a red light camera ticket.
Right.
But I was driving down in Los Angeles over in Montebello, and all of a sudden I start seeing all these flashes and stuff. Next thing you know, bam, I got a $540 ticket in the mail, man.
Unbelievable, huh? It's unbelievable.
Talking about ripping off somebody, huh?
Well, there's a lot of counties that, you know, stopped doing that because they realized that they were unfair and you can't face your accuser because it's a freaking machine and whatnot. I've been very successful at fighting those, so I certainly can help you. But it's a terrible thing. It's not just a $200 ticket. It's like $500, and it's this blurry picture of you, right?
No, actually, they got it all in high definition now, man.
Oh, really? Yeah, they put video.
Yeah,
I think that's the new thing.
They got a video with a link to the video if you watch stuff taking the red light.
So you can swear to the judge and say, "Your Honor, I swear to God, that's not me. I'm sure it's not me." He's going to go,
yeah.
Bullshit. Guilty.
Seriously. I thought it was like $200, man. Like, all right, I'll pay it. I'll go to traffic school, man. It's like $500.
No, they want to slam you. Yeah, it's terrible. I know. I'm sorry about that. Do me a favor.
Hey, no
contact me. Contact me off the air. I'll fight that for you. We'll have a good time. Don't worry. We'll get that taken care of.
What about if it's a right turn on a red light?
Are you allowed to make a right turn on a red light? What's that about?
Yeah, I guess the light was turning yellow and then it turned red as I was making the right turn.
All right. Well, that's more green. Of a conventional ticket. I'll help you with that, too. That's no problem.
Is that an easier thing to take care of or what?
They're all complicated, but the computerized tickets are the worst. I think that's the craziest thing ever. The basic proposition of any criminal thing is that you get to face your accuser. And in this case, who's the accuser? It's a machine. That's wrong.
Stupid machine, huh?
Yeah, that's just
we'll go
not...
back and break that thing down.
Don't get weird on me. That's okay. I don't have to break it, but we'll fight it.
I'm just kidding,
it's
man.
Definitely unconstitutional. Right, I'll give you that.
Tom, thanks for having me on. Adam Sachs, thanks for the advice. I'll definitely call you. And everybody else, be aware. Not everywhere they have these lights taken down. You know, a lot of places still got them up, so just be aware of your surroundings when you're getting to a major intersection. All right, man. Take care. Take me
very
out.
Good.
Blow
thank you
out.
For the call. I'll blow you up. Here you go. Tom, the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with our friend Adam Sachs. Let's say hello here to Dewinsky in Claremont, Florida. Dewinsky, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Not much. How about
hey,
with you?
Hey, what's it do?
A lot of BS car problems. All right, if you remember before, Tom, I called you and I asked you for some car advice. And I know you gave me some good advice. You told me to go to a credit union. And they gave me
to borrow money.
Then they gave me a loan at 2.88% versus my bank, which was giving it to me at 7%. So I'm very thankful for that. I did
that. Sounds like I saved you a lot of money there.
Yes, you did. And because of you, I worked on my credit, too, all year last year and got it pretty high, too, where I was able to get something that low. So I want to thank you for that again. And I love the show. And in 2016, I paid for the full subscription and as well as 2017. I don't play around because I love listening to the show.
Yeah.
My thing. As soon as I get off work, I turn it on. All right. Now back to my problem. I got this car loan, and I went to True Car. I found the car that I wanted, like you told me to, and try to walk into the dealership and pretty much tell them, oh, no, it's okay. I already have the car loan. We don't need to go to finance, whatever. And then so I had some money to put down, too, to try to make sure I walk away with the car. And I pay off the car. I get the car that I had originally was financed through Wells Fargo. And when I go to this dealership, it was not a certified dealer. I think that's where I messed up. I went to a dealership that was not certified. And then what they failed to do is they failed to use my car loan from the credit union to pay off the first car that I have, which was a Nissan, a 2009 Nissan. And now come March, I'm going to be responsible for the 2009 Nissan, which I no longer have in possession, and the 2012 Prius, which I am now driving. And I wanted to know what I could do about that.
Tom, I think this is a financial one.
Is this a legal question? That's what we're doing here, Whisk.
No. It is. Yes, it is a legal question because pretty much the dealership closed down, and now I don't know who to go to. It seems like a legal thing. I don't know because
you mean for
the dealership closed down.
You mean for service?
And now I'm trying to figure. I'm sorry.
You mean who to go to for service?
No, there's nothing wrong with the car. The dealership failed to buy off my car loan from Wells Fargo.
Oh, man.
So I wanted to know if the dealership is still responsible for that, because I pretty much got a car loan. It was approved, and I gave them the car loan, and they were supposed to use it to pay off my first car loan.
I've heard stories where dealers were supposed to buy out leases and loans and, like, did it after months and months or never did it or whatever. But if the dealership is closed, if they went bankrupt or whatever, then you're in trouble, man. They're not going to be able to buy it out if they didn't do it like they're supposed to. If they don't exist anymore, that's a serious problem.
Damn.
So you're essentially, you're like one of their creditors. You may have to go into the bankruptcy court and make a claim against them because they essentially were supposed to pay something that you're going to end up having to pay. They kind of left you holding the bag.
You said bankruptcy court?
Well, what I'm saying is that if they were supposed to buy out the other lease or the other payments or whatever and they never did, then you're essentially a creditor of theirs. And if they're going bankrupt or they're closing down, unless they are part of a bigger company and they have, like, other branches, if they were just that one dealer, then, you know, they may be declaring bankruptcy. You know, they may have closed their doors, but they're also maybe in court, you know, getting rid of their debts and whatever. And so you need to get on the list of creditors so that you'll be able to collect at least part of what they owe, you know, because otherwise, you know, if they don't exist as a business entity, then they're not going to pay off your thing, even if they were supposed to.
Yep, because I've been calling a couple people, and they told me to pretty much fill out a complaint affidavit. And I was wondering if that was my... Yes.
Do me a favor. This is a little complicated, and it's kind of beyond the criminal law thing. But if you want, contact me after the show. Maybe send me some of these documents, and I'll take a look at them for you.
All right, how do I do that? I'll stay on the phone, and somebody will talk to me?
Yeah, ask Dino what to do. He knows.
Yeah, Dino will hook you up.
All right, thank you. Okay.
All right, thank you, Dewinsky. Appreciate the call as usual. 901-3000 Tom. That is our telephone number here on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We're here with Adam Sachs coming up. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam yourself. It's all coming up as we continue.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer the phone myself. You can check me out on Facebook or on regular World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I also answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Works for me. By the way, if you missed your chance to call and talk to Adam, he'll be back. Adam is here every Tuesday, and his next appearance will be this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
I heart this app a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. It's Dino.
Yes.
It's just in. Monkeys are now trying to fuck deer.
That's a real monkey fuck.
Yeah. This is only the second recorded example of sexual relations between two distantly related species. Apparently, a male snow monkey has been captured trying to fuck a deer in Japan. And it's pretty funny. There's video.
Yeah, there's some mounting.
And scientists speculate that it's just simply there ain't no pussy. And so our boy is that horny he's willing to fuck a deer.
Right.
This doesn't happen, you understand?
This all was, of course, documented in the journal called Primates.
Right, which we have in the bathroom.
Yeah. That's a hell of a snow monkey out there.
Yeah. The monkey did ejaculate, by the way, in case you were wondering.
Correct. Yes, he did.
That happened.
By the way, it's the second recorded example.
The second. The previous one was an interaction between an Antarctic fur seal who was trying to fuck a penguin. Then people get paid to, like, observe this sort of shit, you know?
Well, that government money they're just throwing around at scientists to watch some monkey fucking.
Yeah. Amazing deal. That's the soundtrack.
Imagine hearing that in the middle of the night.
Yeah, no shit. A man has been charged with offering money for sex in a Facebook hookup attempt. Your boy just simply, you know, befriended a woman and then said, hey, by the way, I'm willing to pay for sex.
Oh, this is a Pennsylvania dude. All right.
Yeah, from a dude Tunkletown. From Tunkletown.
Yeah, Tunkletown.
Where deer fuck monkeys. So it's the other way around, you know? That's what they do in the woods. But apparently this wasn't a woman. This was a police officer.
It usually is. That's where people make the mistake.
During a police interview, Frank Marks of Cunkleton, a gentleman that was arrested, admitted he'd never been successful in hiring a prostitute. He said in his first attempt to hire a prostitute in 2012, he was arrested by detectives.
Just keeps trying. Hopefully he doesn't get so desperate he's like the snow monkey.
Right.
That's just what I'm hoping.
And finally, Aaron Hernandez's gun tattoos, which allegedly he got to commemorate two violent crimes, can be used against him in his double murder case, according to a judge.
I mean, hasn't anybody learned from our friend OJ? Like, if you get away with something, how about you not, like, advertise it or you just disappear?
Did OJ get tattoos?
No, but he got away with something, and he just couldn't leave well enough alone. He had to go back to the well. You know, if you get away with something, why tat it up?
It would have been great if OJ got, like, a knife tattooed on his neck, maybe a glove. You know? He wasn't that stupid.
But
Aaron Hernandez,
he was stupid.
This is really dumb.
This locks it in.
Right. You know,
it says yes.
Right. I did it. It's plenty more newsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Some monkey fucking.
Yeah.